And from my side, welcome to everyone. We're very, very privileged today to have some people with us. Okay. We've got with us today Izzat and Jacqueline Shahada. I'm not going to explain the whole story of where they're from and what they're doing. That I'm going to leave to them. And I also want to say thank you to Adele that made it possible for us to have them here today. So, yeah, Izzat, thank you. You can come to the front. It's nice having you here.
Thank you. Goeiemôre. Het jy lekker geslaap? It is honor and a privilege that God gave us this wonderful opportunity. And may I ask, can I apply for a membership in this church? You know, when I just greet Pastor Philip, and I received a warm welcome, and this means a lot to my heart. Thank you. Thank you. And I feel the presence of the Lord when we have worship. God is wonderful. Doesn't matter where we are from. Doesn't matter what language we speak. It matters, is Jesus here or not? I'm really overwhelmed for the presence of the Lord and the warm welcome we received from you. Thank you. My name is Izzat, as Pastor Philip mentioned that, I'm Egyptian. Egypt today is 90 million people. 90. From that 90 million, 10 to 15, they are Christian by name, Coptic Orthodox, traditionally church, historically church. And from that 10 to 15, there are 1 million Christian. There are 1 million followers of Jesus. There are 1 million made a decision to accept him as a savior in their life. I'm one of them. And by his grace, I'm following Jesus. And my wife, Jacqueline.
What he said, my name is Jacqueline. I am from Iraq. My city is the north of Iraq. The population in Iraq, they are 35 million. It's not like his country, less. We have 2 million Christian and many thousand believers.
Jacqueline, she will tell us how she became a Christian, even she born in a Christian family and her background Christian. I think you understand what I mean as the environment here as well.
Okay, I will tell you. I'm Christian. I born in the Christian family, and most of them, they are believer. Like the kids, they go to Sunday school. I went to Sunday school. I know what mean Jesus, what he did for us. I know how to read Bible, how to pray, how to sing, all these things I learn. But there is one day it will start, and that it was the first week of October 1987. When my mom, she called me and she said, come. Everywhere, Jacqueline, I will go. I can't take you. But there is one place I cannot. And I said, how can you tell me that? You are my mom. And she said, I will tell you. I explain to you. And she started to share with me four spiritual law. God, he loves you. And we are a sinner. And we need to forgiveness from God to us. And he showed the way through Jesus Christ, what he did in the cross. But that's not enough to know all these things. You must take a decision and call Jesus to come to your heart and clean your heart. And that day, you will be belong to His kingdom, and you can be with me. Where I can go, you will be with me. That it was not easy for me because I grew up with a Christian family. I know all these things. But I prayed and accept Jesus. I prayed with her. And since that time, I follow Him. What He said to me, I obey Him. And now I serve Him where I will go. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, if we give opportunity to everyone, we'll share how we accept Jesus. Everyone, he will share different story, but for one goal, God clean our hearts. For me, was Friday, 6:30, 14th of March, 1986. And that day, I made a decision to follow Jesus. Before that, I was afraid from the death, and I have emptiness in my heart. It's really hard and painful to live with emptiness. And because of that, I tried to end my life 2 times. Because I'm afraid from the death, I give up. And I went to that church in that day, and someone said, I said, can I speak to you? He said, yes, please. And he said, when we said, the first question he did ask me, he said, I said, if you die now, where you will go? I just stood up, said, hey, please, don't talk about this subject. I'm afraid from the death. Please don't speak about it. He said, okay. And he started sharing with me John 2:15. He said, when Jesus entered the temple, he kicked everybody. And he said, what temple means to you? He said, well, nice building, nice church, nice cathedral, nice. What else? He said, this is all what I know. He said, no. The temple is your heart. And Jesus came specifically to you. If you are willing and you are serious to ask Him to come to your heart, He's willing to do that. And He showed me how I pray, I accept Jesus. And He asked me if I want. I said, yes, I do. And I prayed, I accept Jesus. Every single time I share my testimony, I have the feeling in that moment what happened with me. And that night, I went back home not walking. I was flying. Really, I was. You know, every single time. You know, God is love. God is wonderful. He's awesome God. And He filled the emptiness in my heart. There is no empty anymore. The heart is full with His joys. There is no fear from the death because I will be with Him forever and ever. Is that the awesome God? And this is the God I'm not sure if you're thinking that Egyptian or Iraqi come to your area and share they are a Christian. Maybe you're never thinking about. But our God is awesome God. And you can see the family as we are family. And you can see how we, you know, the warm welcome received. Judy with us, and she left us, and she just ran to the kids, and she's playing with the Sunday school right now with the kids. Matthew is 12 years old in Spain right now because he cannot come with us because of his school. And after accepting Jesus in 1986, takes me 10 years to understand God calling. And He called me to serve Him. But I have no idea what it looks like, what should be looks, and what should I do, what should not I do. I finished studying interior designer in Egypt. And I moved to Jordan in 1994 to work. But after 6 months, I was in the church. The first time I entered this church, and the pastor, he speak about how powerful is the prayer. He didn't know me. This is my first time in that church. And he starts, hey, where are you from God's calling? Many years you are escaped. And every time I look around, I said, okay, maybe it's not me. Where? And every time, it's like he's reading what's going on for 10 years ago. Because after accepting Jesus 2 years later, God called me to serve him. But it takes me 10 years to understand. I couldn't wait until he finished his sermon, his preaching. I just ran home and I started crying, Lord. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know how to play music. I didn't know how to speak English. I didn't know, I am nothing. I have nothing. I can do nothing. But if it's your willing, please open the door. And he did. Just a few weeks, God opened the door to work in the church. As a work, not. And I went there for a work, and after that, a year later, 96, when I'm rejoicing for what the work I do, and again, God speak to my heart to be a missionary. And I have no idea what is missionary looks like. All what I know, the missionaries, the people speak English, or people come from America, or people come from somewhere else. But I'm Egyptian. To be a missionary, that's, you know, it didn't make sense to me. And I start sharing with the friends. You know, God spoke to my heart to be a missionary. What this mean? What looks like? Some of them said, you have to pray and to ask Lord where you will go. Some of them said, you have to go to Bible college to prepare yourself to be willing to teach the Bible. Some of them said, you have to go to study English. You never know when the God opened the door to you. And I did. I went to the Bible college, and I started learning English. And during this time, I started praying, Lord, where do you want me to go? And God showed me Mauritania. Do you know where is Mauritania? I did maybe more than that. I said, Mauritania? Where is Mauritania? I have no idea where it is Mauritania. Is it country? Is it people? Is it language? Is it where? And I discovered it's thousand Morocco, southern Morocco, in Atlantic Ocean between Senegal and Morocco, in Mali and Niger, in that northwest Africa. And I discovered there are 5 million people, 100% Muslims. They speak 5 languages, but one of them Arabic, and French, Wolof, Polar, Sonanki. And the land is 2 times bigger than France, and Mauritania is just a huge desert. There is no one single river in all the land. It's just an Atlantic Ocean. And 10, 15 years ago was 200 days dust in Mauritania. And the average age was 48 years because of dust. And so I started praying, and God opened door to visit Mauritania. I did, and it was 2000. I went there from the first single moment, my step in Mauritania, and peace in my heart. This is the place. This is the place. I stayed a month, and I came back to finish the last course in Bible college, and I met Jacqueline. And we get married in January 2001. 2001 was a big year in our life. We get married in 2001. Matthew, our son, the next slide, he born in December 2001. And I graduate from Bible college September 2001. I joined Campus Crusade for Christ in Jordan in the end of 2001. It was a big year in our life. In 2003, we moved to Mauritania as the first Arab missionaries in Mauritania. And God opened doors for us to be there. We stayed from 2003 to 2010. During this time, Jacqueline, we discovered that she cannot have a baby anymore. She has a problem. And the doctor, you have Matthew, that's enough. And I was traveling for a conference, and Matthew asked Jacqueline, why I didn't have a brother or sister? This one, this friend, this one, they have brother and sister. Why I didn't have? And Jacqueline told him, Matthew, I have a problem. The doctor said I cannot be pregnant anymore. But you can pray and God can do a miracle. Okay. I said, okay. And he stood up, put his hand, and started praying for Jacqueline. 9 months later, we discover Jacqueline, she's a pregnant. He was 5 years old. The first night he prayed, I need a brother. Second day, he said, no, I need a brother and sister. Third day, he said, no, I need a sister. And this time, Brian, when we told them, Matthew, mama's pregnant, said, okay, so God sent me a daughter, a sister, and I will name her Judy. And you can see the slide after. And I tried to teach him, told him, Matthew, maybe a boy, maybe a girl, said, a sister, a girl, said, please, said, she's a girl. And because there is no good medical in Mauritania, we moved to Jordan to get the delivery because she did C-section or cesarean with Matthew. So we went there and went to the doctor to see what she's following the doctor. And doctor do the ultrasound. Matthew with us and Jacqueline lie down on the bed. And doctor said, do you want to know what is the baby? I said, yes. And said, a girl. And Matthew looked at us. I told you, I said, well. In 2009, my best friend, he killed in Mauritania. I was with him the night before, sharing the gospel with one local. The 23rd of June, he came to our place, take Matthew and his kids to the school. Dropped them to the school and went to his office. 3 men come and shoot him 3 shots in his head. Was 39 years old and he has 4 children. Wasn't easy for us, or for me especially, because he was my best friend and we did a lot of work together. It was painful. And we plan to move to Spain, to go to Spain to do the operation transit for the project for the North African people. And we received the visa, everything, before Chris. But Chris killed, and after he killed a few weeks, we went as we planned. A week or so after we arrived, the guard, he called me, said, Izzet, said, yes. Said, there is 2 masked men came to the office looking for you. And I spoke with the people we work with, and the director came and said, Izzet, he hear what happened? And he said, well, I pray that if God want you to go back to Mauritania, go. If God want you to be a little bit far from Mauritania for a year or so, you can wherever you can, and after that you can go to Mauritania as a situation. And we prayed, and we felt strongly, no, we need to go back to Mauritania. And we went in September until October 2010. And that time was really hard time. I received many threats by phone, by emails, by newspaper written in. And a number of times when I park my car after work, the moment I park the car, the moment other car moved. The first time, can be. Second time, yeah, maybe, maybe not. Third time, cannot be. So, and we start crying and pray, Lord, where we go? Our heart is bleeding for Mauritanian people. And God opened our eyes and our heart to move to Spain to reach all North Africa, not just Mauritania. And we couldn't stay longer in Mauritania for the visa process, and we moved to Jordan again for the visa process. And we moved to Spain in 2012. After we moved to Jordan for the waiting to get the visa process, my friend, he called me, he my disciple actually, he called me, said, Izzet, I'm very thankful to the Lord that you left Mauritania. I said, why? Said, the policeman called me, he asking about you, where I am. And he told him, we left Mauritania. We are no longer in Mauritania anymore. He said, that's great news I hear. He said, why? He said, because we discovered that Izzat is the second one in the list. Al-Qaeda, people looking to kill him. He said, but God is good. And we moved to Spain to reach all North Africa. What we do in Spain, I would love to show you the video for what we do in Spain. And we can speak longer of that.
This is the Strait of Gibraltar. More shipping traffic passes through this narrow break in land than in any other part of the world. Near this famous spot, millions of Muslims cross the Mediterranean by ferry from their jobs in Europe to their homes in Northern Africa. Most of their nations are closed to missionaries and the gospel. God has given us now a way to reach them. Every year, by car, train, and bus, millions converge at several ports along Southern Europe, waiting hours or even days to board ferries. This has become an open door to deliver the word of God back into the hands of the people. While the vast majority of Muslims revere the New Testament, which they call the Injil, they are taught that Christians have changed the text, so they do not trust the New Testament. Muslims do not believe that God exists in three persons, or that he had a son. They don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. Instead, they are taught that at the last moment, someone in the crowd was changed by God to look like Jesus, and Jesus escaped. 1 billion people are thus cut off from the cross. His sacrifice of love has been hidden from their eyes. They live without hope of eternity, without divine love.
One day in Spain, we discovered that we cannot finish it for 10 years in Mauritania. And God gave us a comfort for the door open to us as a family, as an Arabic speaker. And, you know, you see, and when we are in Spain with the freedom, the way we share the gospel, you can see the slide after. Well, there is a lot of results happened during these years. Many Bibles we gave, by children book, DVDs, and more than almost 11 million items. God gave the opportunity that we give to North African people. And also number of communication center and churches started as well. And you can see the slide after this. After this one, yes. You can see, this really great testimony you can see. This Egyptian lady shared the gospel with Moroccan woman, and actually it was two Christian Egyptian, and this woman, Moroccan woman, after they shared with her, she called her husband, hey, come to hear what this Egyptian lady tried what they share with me. And he came. When he came, these two ladies, one of them called me. He said, I said, please, could you send Egyptian man to me to speak with this man? And I sent this man, Yusuf. He said, he spoke to him and he spoken with her. After that, during the time, there is people came around hearing what they speak about Jesus. In the end, it became like a Bible study in the open air. This is never, ever can happen in one of any North African country. And what a great God, he has the original plan. And he moved us to Spain and comfort us and open our hearts and to see the great need for people as God gave us this wonderful opportunity. And you can see the slide after this one. Is veiled woman or man with big beard or one with well-educated? Everybody, you can see everybody listening and listening and listening. The slide after this one, yeah, this is the way you can see this you saw this in the video already. The slide after this one, the training, and yeah, this is another slide, please. This is his Moroccan man. He called me, a friend of mine called me. We live in Malaga. He said, Azad, there is a Moroccan man searching and looking for the truth. Are you willing to speak to him? I said, yes, that's why I am in Spain. And we make arrangement. I meet him in shopping center and coffee shop. And before he said, he came to me, he greeted me like this. And he stand. He said, Azad, before he said, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Christian. I am lost. I said, okay, have a seat. And he said, and I start share with him the God's love. How he is very special to the Lord through Jesus Christ. And I offer him how he can be a follower of Jesus Christ. How he can reconcile through Jesus Christ. And I offer, if you want to pray, and he pray with me with tears. Two men's sitting in coffee shop and shopping center, one is crying, one sitting. 3 days later, he entered my car to do the first follow-up with him. I said, Izzat, I feel like I born again. I said, this is exactly what happened. 3 days old with the Lord. He came with this conclusion. This is the only one is working in the hearts is the Holy Spirit. The God, it changes hearts. And he asked me to baptize him. This is the member of the International Arabic Church. We start a church in Malaga, and we went. We are 10 couples, most of us North African, and I baptized him last June. We left Mauritania, but God comfort us with the people local in Mauritania. You can see the slide after this one. You know this what? This is the screen for showing Jesus' film. See the slide after this one. See how many people you see, a crowd of people. What a joy, what a comfort that God gave us this person. Before Christ, for a number of years, I was discipling him. I said, hey, Hussein, sooner or later I will leave Mauritania. Please pray and thinking, how can you reach your people? How can? I said, okay. He went and he came back. I said, Izzat, do we have a video player? I said, yes, do we have? And said, can we buy a generator? I said, yes, we can, but why? He said, can we buy a receiver satellite? I said, yes, we can, but why? Said, can I have the Jesus film? I said, yes. Why? Said, okay. I will go to my village, 300 kilometers far north from the capital. There is no electricity there. And said, I set up the satellite dish through the generator, and I show them news, sport, film. In the midst of this, I take the plug off from the receiver, put it in the DVD player with Jesus film. Said, now I understood why. Let us go to buy. And yes, and he went for the first time. People think it's just come normal, it's natural, thinking that's through the satellite. And the second time, they said, well, how can be the same film after that? That's, you know, it's... And the third time, the people know that he's showing Jesus' film. And after that, he didn't use the satellite anymore. He's doing Jesus' film. And he would go from village to village. And this is his screen to show Jesus' film. What a joy. What a blessing. A wonderful. God is a great God. He He knows the way if there is no way. And number of times during the prayer time, for a Muslim's time, he's showing the film. And the imam, you know imam? The man, he's in the mosque, he's in the church. And he said, Hussein, please, the time of prayer, just turn the film off, that people can pray and come back. He said, listen, the film is it on the mosque there. The people can choose wherever they can go. He said, the people didn't want to come to mosque during the film show. And, you know, when I look back 10 or 15 years, I never thinking or thought that someday I meet you, or God arranged that we can, as a body of Christ, we can gathering together. Really, me and my family, Jacqueline, Judy, and Matthew, we drove for 1.5 hours, but if it's 10 hours, it's really worth. And we are so grateful to the Lord that God opened this opportunity. And you know, what we, when we left Mauritania, we felt, you know, it's like the door is shut for us. And we cannot do anything else, but God is a great God. And it's honor, privilege that we are, as a family, we serve Him. And really, thank you so much for the great opportunity given to us. Thank you, Pastor Phil. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Izzat and Jacqueline. I think all of you will agree with me that it was really a privilege to have you guys here. And we're looking forward to see what the Lord's plans is for all of us together in the end of the day. Can I ask you to come to the front that we can pray for you? Asleru, kom so nader. Yes, thank you, Father, for this man and this woman and for their family. Thank you, Father, for their hearts and for where they are willing to go, Lord. Father, thank you that we can know that you have sent them, and Father, that you have anointed them for what they need to do. And to change this world, Father, one person at a time. But Father, I really want to pray your blessing and your protection and your provision over this family. And Father, once you said to me where there's no way, you will make a way. And I want to ask you, Lord, that will be true for them as well, that they'll always be able to say, but where there's no way, you will make a way. And Father, thank you that we can know that I'm sure they already know about your love and your provision and everything you are capable of. But I want to ask you, Lord, that they will keep on to share that with other people so that other people can know that as well. I want to ask you as well, Lord, that I believe you brought us together today, that you will lead us in what your plans is for the future for both of us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, I think was Margaret with the Glitwas offslate. Thank you, Father, that we were so blessed today to be able to meet these people. Thank you, Father, that I know all of this is possible because of Jesus and because of what He did. And thank you, Father, for all the opportunities you give to all of us today, every day. And Father, also, I think a lot of times when we hear about people like this going out and putting their lives in danger for you in your kingdom, we forget that we can also, you basically expect the same thing from us where we are. Father, here where you've put each of us today here in Piketberg, you expect us to do the same thing. To share your goodness and to share what you've done in our lives to the people around us. Because Father, also in Piketberg today, there's people that don't know you and that's got no relationship with you. I want to ask you, Father, that you will really change our hearts, that we'll be willing to go, willing to talk, willing to share, because it's all about you, Jesus, and it's not about us. I thank you, Father, for this day, and that we were able to hear their story and what you did and still doing in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.